You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
We have such a great morning plan for you. I think it is very fitting that on Super Bowl Sunday, we have some of the greatest team players of C3 Church bringing you the word today. We are passionate here at C3 Church to raise and develop people from within the house of God and release them into the incredible callings that God has on their life. I know John and I weren't called, we didn't know we were called to ministry 10 years ago, and we started serving on the parking team, and I decorated and cleaned the bathrooms. That was my first volunteer role. And I want you guys to know that all the people that are going to be taking the platform today are incredible leaders and powerhouse connect group leaders, as well as volunteers in other areas, and they have gone through our pathway, which is connecting with God, connecting with people, going to grow class, serving, and now they are leading teams and leading with such strength and authority. We couldn't be more confident in these people that are going to be bringing you the word today, and I know that they have something that you need to hear. So make sure to get out your notepads and your pen and get ready. Lean in, receive, cheer them on. I'm going to announce all three of them today. Our first is going to be powerhouse prayer warrior, Mr. Ron Davis. We heard from his wife, Quacha, last time, who just tore the roof off this place. We repaired it, don't worry. But he's going to be bringing the word. Naomi Kellanoy is going to be bringing the word. Beautiful, beautiful Connect Group leader, one of our lay pastors. And then Mr. Alex Klott. Connect Group leaders, volunteers in society and college, and he's getting married next Saturday. Five sleeps, people. So I would love if you would stand to your feet and welcome up our first powerhouse speaker, Mr. Ron Davis.
And good morning to everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I choose to rejoice. And you know, I realize that rejoicing is a choice. We can choose to rejoice or we can choose not to rejoice. And it's not really dependent upon the situation that we're faced with, because I've seen people who have so much in the natural and they are so sad, so beaten down. But then I've been in Africa and I've seen some people in the villages, in some huts, and they are rejoicing because they know who God is watching over them. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I want to thank Pastor Jurgen, Pastor Leanne, Pastor John, and Pastor Becky for giving me the honor and privilege to speak at this 10 a.m. service. And it truly is an honor and privilege. I thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy towards me. My message this morning is entitled, How Do You See Yourself? Now, that is a question that we need to really examine. Because how we see ourselves is going to be all important on the life that we live. If we see ourselves as victorious, we will be victorious. Because, you know, if we say we can, we can. But if we say we can't, we can't. You know, what we say and how we see things are so all important. So sometimes it's good to step back and just say, how am I seeing myself? Do I see myself in the eyes the way God sees me? Because he sees us and has told us how he sees us in the Bible. He sees us as totally victorious. We are the head, not the tail. We are above, far above, and not beneath. And that's the way God sees us. But you know, man would try to tell us that we're just a worm. We are just nothing. We just, you know, our bellies can crawl along in the dust. But that's not the victory that Jesus has told us that we have. So, you know, we need to take and examine ourselves constantly and say what we know God is saying. You know, I was thinking about superheroes. There's a lot of movies about the superheroes. The old ones about Superman and Spider-Man, and they have revised those and so forth. But you know, if I asked you who you say you are, how you see yourself, how many would say, and you don't have to raise your hand now, how many of you would say, I am a superhero? How many would say, I am a superhero? Now, what makes a superhero? Someone who has superpowers. Now, if you go to the Word of God in Mark 11:23, and I believe, Mark 11:23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, to me, I believe that's a superpower. Can you imagine going up to a mountain, whatever mountain is in our own lives, and speaking to it and seeing it move out of the way immediately? That's superpower. That is superpower. Batman and Robin, they just don't have it. But maybe we can get them saved so they can, all right? Now, I'll tell you, you know, even superheroes sometimes find that they are in a condition where they're faced with what appears to be lack. And if we as Christians find ourselves in that position, look at what Jesus modeled for us. And he modeled for us in Mark 6:41-44. And Pastor Jurgen, he helped me out this morning because he talked about this also. And in Mark 6:41-44. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all, so that they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 basketfuls of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Okay? Jesus took an inventory of what he had. And looking at what he had, he didn't do like some of us. He held those fish and the bread up and gave thanks. And once he got into a mode of thanksgiving, then he set it up for a miracle of multiplication. Now, again, just to show that this is an important message, you know, let's look at Matthew 15:34-38. Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7, and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. Now in the first account, yes, it only mentioned that 5,000 men were there. But it's reasonable, even though it doesn't say, that that multitude also contained women and children. So it probably is on a pretty equal footing. But note one thing. In the first case, he takes 5 loaves of bread and he feeds 5,000. Now the next time around, what does he do? He takes 7. Now wait a minute. He takes 7 on the second time around. But there's only 4,000 now. So he actually took more to do less. Now I started thinking about this. When someone is called to do something where they really look at themselves, they take that inventory and they say, I don't have the qualifications. I can't really do that. I'm not in that position. But they know God has called them to do it. But on the other hand, they look and see someone that looks so well qualified to do it. Why would this happen? Why would God call them? And then I started thinking, maybe it's because God wants to do more with less. Amen? Maybe God is calling us because he wants to do more with less. So if we are the less, rejoice, because it's going to bring glory to God Almighty. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is good. And you know, I just want to, you know, wind up saying, look towards Jesus. Don't look towards a lack. Look towards the miracles that are going to be performed because of our willingness to be used by God. Amen?
Awesome word, Ron. Woo-hoo! What an awesome word. What an awesome word that was. Woo! Well, I am so excited to open the word with you this morning. So excited. I'm going to share. I just want to share on a tsunami that hit me lately. And I can tell you it was a tsunami because I've walked through storms before, and this was not it. This was not it. This was waves upon waves upon waves. I mean, it was everything to try to come up to get some breath. And this is what God said to me. We've got to turn the lights down just a little bit. This is what God said to me. Naomi, don't fight like a girl. Live like a daughter. And for the men in the house this morning, don't fight like a boy. Live like a man. You know, God is not saying something to us this week, and then next week he's saying something different. No, no. God has got something on his heart that he wants to impart to us. And for me, it was reposition yourself for change. Reposition yourself for change. Some of you know I owned a Hawaiian restaurant for almost 20 years. My landlord passed away. His children inherited his property. And unbeknownst to any of us tenants, the building was up in escrow. I mean, really? OMG. One day I'm at work, and a realtor walks in. And she asks, are you Kehlani? And I said, well, yes, I'm Kehlani. I was almost ready to say, how may I help you? And she says, you need to sign these, and you need to sign these now. And I'm like, whoa, back up, Barbie. Whoa, I'm like, what is this? What is this? She says, this is exactly how she did to me. It's an estoppel agreement. I'm like, I'm supposed to know what estoppel agreement is? I feed people for a living. So I literally have the certificate, the paper in my hand, and I'm looking at it, and I'm shaking. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is filled with all incorrect information. It's filled with basically lies. I looked at her and I said, you know what? I'm gonna have to have my lawyer look this over. And as soon as I said that, right then, as soon as I said that, she says, oh no, you need to sign this, and you need to sign this now, Kehlani, or you're gonna be served with a 3-day quit notice. I'm like, right then I'm thinking, oh God, I'm thinking, you better take your Beverly Hills housewife attitude out of my place of business, before the Hawaiian hood in me comes out and I slap you all the way to Samoa. And I'll repent after. Oh, church, you have no idea. I was so hurt. I was in shock. I was so upset. I mean, I couldn't work anymore. I had to go home. I just left. I went home and I'm crying. I mean, I'm hysterical. I'm crying and I'm crying so loud, my dogs start howling. I was like, oh my gosh, my dogs are howling. And this is what, and I was saying things like this. Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Oh Father, you know I say I trust you with my whole life. But I can't believe this is happening to me. I just can't believe it. My emotions were all over the place. And how many of you know when your emotions are out of control, you're not rational? I mean, you're not. You're gonna say things that you wish you never said. And you've heard it said before, don't go to the phone, go to the throne. So I went to the throne. I'm like, Lord, this was my dream. I birthed it, I nurtured it. We're flipping successful. It's all I've known for the last 19 plus years. It's all I've known. It's all, now, not rational. It's a harvest field for crying out loud. Do you know how many people have been saved in this restaurant? Do you know how many people have been healed in this restaurant, Lord? They're not just kicking me out. They're kicking you out too. I was like, oh no, Lord, my vision builder's pledge. Seriously. I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I gonna host the Thanksgiving? Homeless Christmas, Thanksgiving Christmas dinners too. Where am I gonna host them? Just as I finished saying that, the devil says, you're gonna lose your home. You're gonna lose your home. You don't have a husband, so you can rely on his salary. Your mother's gone, your brother's gone, your sister's gone. You have no one. This is what he told me, no one. He was trying to sow fear, doubt, uncertainty of my financial future, And this is what I want you to hear today. Just because you feel like you're losing doesn't mean you have to let that losing mentality rule your life. It doesn't. Losing is always thinking about what you don't have. Winning is always thinking about what you do have in God. We're always gonna have bumps in the road, but we turn these bumps into mountains by our language. You know, you speak what you believe. You speak what you believe. The devil may have given me a sucker punch, but I wasn't gonna let him knock me out. We were born winners, church. We were born to win. So I'm at home and I'm flipping through my Bible. I'm like, God, I need a word. I need a rhema word, Father. I need something that I can hold on to right now. And there it was. Bam, big as life. Psalm 37, 1 and 2. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. for like the grass, they will soon wither. And I'm like, yes, wither, 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 wither. Let them wither. And then I see soon. And I'm like, oh no. Paul said Jesus was coming soon and I'm still here. Please, God, don't let it be that kind of soon. And you know what happened as I was reading and reading and reading and praying and crying out to God and flipping through pages and pages? I was just saturating myself in the Word of God. Saturating. And this is what was happening. This is what was happening. I was being comforted. I was being so comforted. It was like He was saying to me, now, it's going to be okay. You know, I could feel His love. I could feel His love. It was like His arms were wrapping around me. I could just feel His love. Faith, my faith was rising. My faith was rising. In Romans 12:3, it says that God has given each of us a measure of faith. What are we doing with it? I mean, what are we doing with it? You know, it's one thing to have faith. It's another thing to release it. I could feel His presence. His presence was there. He was right there with me. And this is what He said to me. This is what He said to me in Psalm 34, verse 19. My precious daughter, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. I'm like, many troubles, Lord? Many troubles. Psalm 56 says, He bottles our tears. How amazing is that? That the God, the creator of the universe, bottles our tears. Church, do you know how close He has to be to you to catch every tear? Oh, oh. Zephaniah 3:17, He sings over you. Sings over you. Not corporately. It doesn't say corporately. Individually. He sings over you. He sings over you. He sings over me. And that made me wonder. Wonder what my song sounds like, Lord. No, I wonder what it sounds like. Is it my go-to Rocky theme song? Da-da-da, da-da-da. No, no, I don't think so. I really think that it's a passionate love song. A passionate love song. Oh, gosh, it's just, you know, when I was going through all this, I was being hammered with emails from attorneys, my side, their side. And let me tell you, the attorneys aren't kind. It was vicious. It was full of lies. They twist the truth. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. And in the midst of all this, I'm going in for a 3-hour major surgery. I'm like, are you kidding me? But I'll tell you what, hospital was nice. There was a little bit of peace for a little bit. It was great. It was great. But then the doctors tell me, you're going to need 24-hour care for 2 weeks when you get home. You got to schedule it. And I'm like, are you kidding? Now, don't forget, the emails are still going. I'm like, oh, my God, Lord, you're not going to be able to walk. How am I going to get to the kitchen? I'm thinking, who am I going to schedule? But, you know, God supernaturally provided. And I knew right then, I'm not going on a fast. I knew it. In the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of this, my only daughter was getting married. So trying to plan a wedding, I mean, it was waves upon waves upon waves upon waves. It was horrible. You see, I was fighting to try to hold on to my restaurant. God was trying to get me to let go. God wasn't trying to take something from me. He was trying to get something to me. We have to let go of Pharaoh to be willing to walk with Moses. God was saying, hold my hand, hold my hand. I want to lift you higher. I want to lift you higher. You see, He's got much bigger things for me than selling $10 plates. We say we trust God, yes and amen, but we get so comfortable with what right in front of our eyes that we have trouble lifting our eyes higher. You know, how many of you have seen the movie The Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments. I love it on the big screen. It's phenomenal. Parting the Red Sea, and you see these walls of water going up, and you think, wow, Lord, if I was living in those days and I'd seen that miracle, I would have believed. I would have believed. But most of us, we are living in those days. We're living in those days. Didn't he lift the walls of hurt when your brother was murdered? Didn't he? Didn't he lift the walls of financial debt when you thought there was no way out? Didn't he lift the walls of depression when you were suicidal? Didn't he lift the walls of loneliness when you thought you'd never find that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that spouse, or even that much-needed friend? Didn't he? Well, didn't he? We all have didn't he's in our lives. We all have didn't he's in our lives. But this is what I've discovered. Memory is powerful. Think back on the last big problem you had. You thought you'd never get through it, right? And then think about the one before that. Huh, impossible. But you made it through. You made it through. You know, there's a woman in Isaiah 54, a losing woman, a nation, a whole barrenness. And this was God's response to her. Sing, burst into song, shout for joy. I am not coming down to your level of losing. I want to lift you up to my level of winning. This is what the word says in Jude. Stir yourself up. Build yourself up. You have to do it, church, because nobody's going to do it for you. The next time a problem arises in my life or in your lives, we need to remember our didn't he's and let go of the problem and grab the hand of Jesus and let him lift you higher. Don't fight like a girl. Live like a daughter.
Let's give them a shout. Come on. How amazing was that? My God. You know why I love our church? I love our church because we honor and we respect the generation that's leading us. I love that. We are a lot of young adults in here, but we need to look to people like Ron. We need to look to people like Pastor Naomi and obviously our pastors because they know things that we don't know. And I'm dumb enough to admit that and know that. First things first. Smart enough. We'll start there. I want to first honor Pastor Jurgen and Leanne. Thank you so much for planning this church. It literally saved my life. Literally saved my life. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share on this platform. It really does mean the world. We love you guys. Thank you so much. And Pastor John and Becky, we love you guys so much. Thank you for giving me this honor as well. I know this is your podium, and it means a lot. And you guys have poured so much into Tanae and I, and we can't thank you guys enough. Thank you for leading us. We love you guys. And I do really quick, also want to honor my fiance, Tanae. We're getting married in 5 sleeps. And you know why I love her? I love her because she's so planted in the house of God and so loves God that she's taken on other responsibilities for planning the wedding so that I could spend time to get this right for all of you. So I love you, Tanae. Thank you for doing that. Awesome. Well, let's start. I want to start with 2 scriptures, and then I'm going to share my testimony because I believe God's going to speak to you through that. And the things that I've went through are not just for me, they're for you too. So let's start with Proverbs 3:5-6. I believe it's going to be up here. And it says, trust in the Lord. Somebody say, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. I love that one. Let's go to Romans 8:28. And he will work all things together for good. I know it's coming up, but I'm just going to say it. And he will work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. These were the first 2 scriptures that came alive to me when I got saved 2 years ago. And I believe that they are the reason I'm here where I am today. And I believe that this is a word for you. And I believe it's a word that we've all been speaking today. That let go of the old, step into the new. And I want to share with you guys my story. So let's pray first. Father, I thank you for each and every person here. I thank you for this church. I thank you that what I say will not just be a religious speech, but will be a response from my heart, Father, and it will be your words, Holy Spirit, and not mine. Preach to them a better sermon than I prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So really quick, I'm going to sum up my story, and then I believe that God's going to speak to you through that. So I grew up in San Luis Obispo, California, if any of you guys know that. I grew up with a single mom. My father passed away when I was 9, and I grew up Catholic and Jewish. It's confusing enough as it is. And so what happened was, as you can imagine, without a dad around, you grow up with a lot of insecurity. You grow up with a lot of fear. You grow up with a lot of depression. There's just things that happen. And so by the time I got to high school, those things were my religion. I let go of Catholicism. I let go of Judaism. And I said, and I didn't want to say it, but it was true. The God of fear, the God of anxiety, the God of insecurity were my gods. And so what ruled me led me into things that were drugs, that were partying, that were alcohol, that were the wrong relationships. That's why I thank God we have my city in this house. Because holy moly, if I had my city, I wouldn't have had to go through all of this. But I thank God I did. I thank God I did. And so by the time I was involved in all that, I decided to go out for the football team. I was 15 years old. I said, you know what? I want to go out for the football team. And though I was scared, I couldn't even do it. And I met my coach, who was the man who actually ended up kind of being like my dad. And his name was Coach Kelly. And I love Coach Kelly because when he came on board as the head coach, he didn't hide his faith. The man loved Jesus, and he wasn't afraid to say it. He lost half of the team because he said, I love Jesus, and I believe that Jesus wants to touch you and change you. And he didn't back down from that. He was a great coach. And so what I found through that was I had never really heard about Jesus. I had grown up with Christians, but I never actually heard or seen the gospel. I heard a lot of stuff, but I never saw the gospel. And that'll preach. And what I found was he led me to know how to lead a family, to know how to lead like a man, to know how to stand for your convictions. And he preached to me for 4 years and rarely ever had to use words. And I believe that's the most powerful thing we can do as Christians. He sowed into my life to the point when 4 years later, when I walked into this house and heard Pastor John preach a message called Big Hero 6, I decided to give my life to Christ because of the seeds that he had sown. So who are we? Who are we seeing in our lives that we're ignoring because we don't think that they'll ever turn away, that they'll ever stop in that thing, in that dysfunction? Who are we about to give up on that we need to stay consistent and that we need to actually walk the gospel out? It's so important. And I thank God every day for him because he's the one that turned my life around. So who is that person in our lives? Now, that was one Super Bowl. The next Super Bowl was once I got saved, God began speaking to me about my calling. Problem was, I was in the depth of a valley and he was showing me mountaintops. Anybody else relate to that? I think he does that on purpose. I think he's got a sense of humor because he knows that if we're down here and he's showing us up here, that he knows that there's no way we can actually think we can do that without him. Right? And today, I just so happen to be on one of those mountaintops. I believe that I'm serving in one of the most incredible ministries in society. It's our 18 to 25-year-olds, and I am absolutely in love with it. Why? Because every Thursday night, we give kids the opportunity to seek purpose over painkillers, to seek worship over weed, and to know God instead of Netflix and chill. And that's why I believe I'm serving on a mountaintop. So if you know of an 18 to 25-year-old, get him here because God just might change their life. God just might take them to a place where they don't have to go to that party and make that mistake and have that kid. It doesn't have to be like that. Doesn't have to be like that. However, if you were to tell me 2 years ago that I would be doing this, leading kids in that age group when I actually was in the most dysfunction of my life in that demographic, in that age, I'd tell you, you were crazy. And I'd look at you like that because that's crazy. Why? 2 years ago when I walked into this church, I had just blown $80,000 of my inheritance that I was given from my family. I had blown it on drugs, on alcohol, on partying, on living the high life. Bought a fancy car I didn't need that I didn't earn. And I was pretty much the most depressed, but on the outside, looking like I had it together person you could meet. And this church let me break my walls down. It let me really know who I was, and it shaped me, and it shaped me. And what I found was that Jesus turned my life around, and what I found was that Jesus actually is the bridge. The cross is the bridge that turns our mess into a message. He turns our mess into a message. Whatever you think you're going through right now, that you think you're never going to get out of, or you're wondering why your past happened the way that it did, go back to Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Go back to Romans 8, 28. When I heard those verses, those things came alive to me because I realized my pain had a purpose. My pain had a purpose bigger than myself. And that allowed me to let go of my past and embrace it because God wanted to use it to serve other people. He wanted to use it to serve other people. What the devil intended to kill me with, what the devil intended to kill you with, God is going to use to resurrect other people back to life. Now, real quick, I'm going to share three quick testimonies. These are just a few of them in terms of what God has done in the last 2 years of my life, because I believe that it's going to awaken something in you. When I hear someone's testimony, I get fired up. It raises my faith. So, when I first came to church, I was in an unequally yoked relationship. You can call it that, whatever you want to call it. It was not healthy. And I honestly believed that I was going to be with that person for a while. And then I started to get plugged into this church, and I met a guy named Jeff Q. Thank God for Jeff Q. Thank God for Jeff Q. And I remember everyone was telling me, hey, you gotta break this up. It's not going to work. God's got something way better for you. Way better for you. And I was like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, God, one night, I said, God, if you want me to do this, you got to make it blatantly obvious, like so clear. And so the next day I went to men's prayer, because that's what you do. You don't just pray and then don't do anything. You have works. And I gave people in this church an opportunity to speak in my life. I got a prophetic word from someone I'd never met before and said, you need to break up with that person. God has someone absolutely. Now, so I did it. I was obedient. I did it. Now, this was 2 years ago. I didn't know Tanae at that time. If I had known that would have been the easiest decision in the world. Oh my gosh. But you see, I had to see her before I had to believe God, okay? I had to know Jeremiah 29:11. I didn't know Tanae, but I knew Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans that prosper you, not to harm you, give you hope and a future. So that's one. Second thing, 2 months into getting saved, my mom calls me, tells me she has cancer. I'm like, 2 months saved. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Luckily, I'd been reading Daniel, and I remember fasting does something that praying doesn't, like fasting overlays and opens heaven in a new way. So I said, I'm going to fast. I didn't tell anybody. I fasted. At the end of the fast, guess what? My mom was healed from cancer, 100%. Now, here's the thing. I didn't know my mom was going to get 100% healed. I didn't know she'd be the healthiest she ever was today. But I did know Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripes we were healed. I did know that. And so I stood on that word. The last thing, and I'm going to wrap this up, was 7 months into being a Christian, I felt God calling me into the internship. At that time, I was full-time in the marketplace. I had no plans of going into ministry. None. Zero. Whatsoever. Nada. But he said it. And I didn't know how I was going to do it financially or with my time. But guess what? A year later, I am now earning double the income I was making before then. And I've had church 3 full days a week. That does not make sense. But guess what? I didn't know how it was going to work, but I knew that if I built God's house, he was going to build mine. I just knew that. I knew that because I came to church on a Sunday more than one service. I knew that because if I gave, it would be given to me. I knew that. Now, I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to share one last thing that Pastor Andy actually shared with me a while ago. And he said, we must see it before we see it, or we will never see it. We must see it before we see it, or we will never see it. And that's exactly what happened here. I had to see Tanae, promise from God, and trust his word, I would never have seen it. I had to see my mom healed, a promise from God, trust his word, I would never have seen it. I had to see my income grow. I had to see this house built. I had to see society having 55,000 college students worshiping at Qualcomm. We have to see whatever it is that you're mouthing. You have to see it before you see it, or you will never see it. What can you trust God with, and what word are you standing on today? Thank you.
Come on, let's give it up for all three of our preachers. Man, oh man. How many people feel blessed that they came to church today? Incredible. Man, I love the fact that God doesn't just speak to people that are on the platform all the time. God speaks to everybody. And he definitely has spoke to you guys. Thank you so much for all of your courage and telling your stories and for getting up here. Incredible words. We're so proud of you. We love you guys. It's amazing. And I think one of the things that they all kind of alluded to was really just trusting in God. No matter what your circumstances are, if we trust in God, things can get better. And no matter if it's waves upon waves upon waves, God can rescue you from that thing. No matter if you've been through a past like Alex has been through, God can rescue you from those things if we just believe in him, if we just trust in him, and if we know who we are called to be, like Ron was saying, if we know who we are, man, there's no ceilings in our life. I love the thought of that there's no ceilings in heaven. God can continue to take you as high as you're willing to go. And here's the, I guess, the scripture that God would was speaking to me about while they were speaking, and that is this. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. No matter what you've been through in your past, God wants to do a new thing, and he's literally going to take the old things away. He's not going to erase your memory because they're going to use them to tell your testimony to somebody else. But he's going to create a new you. A new you. And then the Bible says this. It says, behold. Pastor Andrew showed me this word, behold, and I've been kind of stuck on it. It says, behold, all things have become new. Everything in your life. The word behold is an attempt by God to arrest your attention, to show you something remarkable. He wants you to stop because he wants to show you. God has something for you in your future that you can't ever imagine. But first, we got to be in him. So I want to give you an opportunity right now to be in Christ and watch the old things pass away and watch all things become new. Would you just close your eyes for just a second with me? If that's you and you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, maybe you've never invited Jesus into your life, and you've been struggling with things, wondering, how do I get out of this thing? Or, God, this isn't the life that I thought I would be having at this time in my life or in this age or whatever. But today you're saying, you know what? I want to give this Jesus a chance. I want to see if he really, if his word is really true, if he really will take away all of those old things and behold, show me something amazing in my future. So if that's you, you've never given your life to Christ, or sometimes we do when we were younger or whatever, but we take our life back. But today you're saying, you know what, I want to recommit myself to Jesus. I want to see what new things he has for me. If you're one of those two people right now with every eye closed and head bowed, would you just raise your hand right where you are so that I can pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you back there on my right, in the middle, on my left. Hands are going up everywhere. On my left, over here in the front, on my left in the back, way up top, in the middle, in the back, in the front, in the middle, my left on the floor. Once I see your hand, guys, you can put it down. Right there in the back, I see that hand, sir. Is there anybody else who wants to step into that new life? God bless you. I see that hand way back there. I see that hand right here in the front. God bless you, sir. Right here, I see that hand, young man. Over here to my left, I see that hand. Man, we only got one shot at this life. Why not give God a chance? Is there one more person? Is there one more person? God bless you, buddy. Incredible. Incredible. Well, hey, would you guys look up here at me? There was tons of people that raised their hand. And I'd love it if I could ask you to do one more thing. Because there are so many of you, I can't get out and pray for you. I want to pray for you, but I want to pray for all of you individually. And I'd love it if you would do this. If as we stand to our feet, all of you that raised your hand, if you would just come down to the front, everyone's going to be cheering you on. If you brought a friend, bring your friend with you. And we're just going to pray a prayer. We're going to watch God come into your life. So come on, if you raise your hand, would you come down to the front? I'm going to get off the stage. Wow, 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 wow. I'm so proud of all you guys for coming up front. Only reason I came back up here is because there's so many manly men that came forward. I wanted people to be able to see. But I'm so proud of you. God's going to come into your life today. And I am believing that all things are going to become new. He's going to show you something amazing. So if y'all can just hang with me just for two more minutes while we pray, I'm just going to say a little prayer, simple prayer, and the whole congregation is going to repeat after me. And especially you guys, I'd love it if you pray this prayer out loud to yourself. Just say this simple prayer. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today I invite you into my life and I ask that you would show me how to live how you've called me to live. I declare today that I am saved, that heaven is my home, and that God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. One more time. Let's give these guys a hand. So proud of you guys. Incredible. Incredible. Well, hey, I want you to know that the decision that you just made is the most important decision that you can make in your life. I remember when I made that decision, when I fully gave my life to Christ, everything became different to me. Start to see different things. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible and just help you in your walk. Just give you the next step. 2 minutes of your time would be appreciated. If you could just head over to this response lounge. We're going to give you a Bible, a little book. If you have any questions, we want to pray with you. We just want to make sure that we take care of you after this decision. So if you could turn to your right and my left and just follow the great people behind you with you and head over there. We'll get you back in just 2 minutes. Heaven is celebrating right now. We should be celebrating right now. You guys are awesome. Amazing, amazing. Come on, they're still going. Incredible. Thank you all for hanging with us. The altar call is the most important thing that we do in a service. So I appreciate the fact that you hung out and you're praying with us and believing for God to move on the hearts of everybody. But let me just pray for you before we leave. One of the greatest things about today is the fact that everybody that spoke and everybody that preached is not just thanking God, but they're thanking people. The church is an amazing place to be because we get to do life with people. And we all need that relationship, like Pastor Jurgen would say, and this relationship. We need this horizontal relationship as well as that. And so it's just a beautiful thing. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this church. It's amazing. Well, let me just pray for you. Why don't you lift your hands? Father, we thank you. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the life of every person in C3 San Diego. And God, I pray, Lord, that today would be a new day in all of our lives, no matter if we're on the mountaintop or the valley. God, that you would take us higher. Lord, that you would lift our eyes to see and step into the impossible. Lord, we thank you for this great church. We thank you for the great people around us. Lord, help us to have great relationships. Lord, help us to not only come to church, but to be the church. Father, we pray, Lord, that the invitations that we give out to our friends and our families to come into the house of God, because we know what you've done with our life, Lord, that they would accept and that you would do the same thing in their lives. And Lord, that we would see San Diego, that we would see our families, that we would see our friends saved into a relationship with you. Father, bless each and every son and daughter that you see here today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, give God one more hand clap.